It's Marketplace Tech for Monday the 21st. I'm Ben Johnson. Today and this evening, the shadow of a solar eclipse is crossing North America and moving onto the Atlantic Ocean. It won't happen again in the U.S. until the year 2024, though the moon blocks the light of the sun completely somewhere on planet Earth about every 18 months. Today in the U.S., you got to wear special glasses to watch in real life, even if you are pointing a smartphone at the sun and looking on your smartphone screen. But if you're either not in the so-called path of totality or stuck in front of a computer, you can stream it on Twitter. This is thanks to a partnership between Twitter and the Weather Channel. Neil Katz is head of global content and editor-in-chief for the Weather Company. Neil, thanks for talking.
Thank you, Ben. Pleasure to be here.
You guys film extreme or unique weather events all the time, right?
We do.
How do you tackle filming something like this?
It's a lot easier. It's you don't have to dance around a tornado. They can be pretty dangerous. This one's going to be a very safe event. The totality, you know, when you actually the eclipse actually goes completely dark, that happens very quickly. You only get to see about 2 minutes of it. But we've positioned cameras in 10 states, so we're going to do it 10 times. And we're also working with NASA, who's putting up jet planes to film this, and they'll capture about 7 minutes of the totality as they kind of chase it across the skies.
How are you guys going to make money off this event?
The old-fashioned way, ads. You know, commercials will be placed throughout the stream, and that's going to be both on Twitter, but also on our own platform. We're running this live on our apps as well as our website as well.
Can you talk a little bit about how your company thinks about programming in the internet age?
We keep it short, that's first of all. And, you know, for our app, which is today the bulk of where people experience the Weather Channel, you know, if you're a data consumer, if you come to us just for the forecast to figure out if you need to wear a jacket or a raincoat tomorrow, you stay with us about 4 minutes a month. If you come for video and content, you stay about almost 30 minutes a month. So it's had a huge impact on our business to, you know, rearrange how we think about producing digital content.
Neil, are you going to be watching with glasses or on a computer screen? Where are your eyes going to be focused during the eclipse?
My eyes will be in a dark studio in Atlanta, watching millions of people watching us.
Fair enough. Neil Katz is head of global content and editor in chief for the Weather Company. Neil, thanks a lot.
Thank you, Ben.
All the little boxes you check on your way to using that thing you want to use online without paying super close attention to what you're signing away include agreements about data privacy. You might remember the story from about a month ago where iRobot's CEO said something about Roomba vacuum cleaners mapping your home's floor and sharing that data. And then people got really freaked out. The company assured everyone it wasn't doing this yet. But the truth is, no two data privacy agreements really seem to look the same to the user. And that's a big part of the problem, says Jamie Williams, a staff attorney at the Electronic Frontier Foundation. Jamie, thanks for talking.
Thank you for having me.
All right, how did we get here?
Part of the problem is that we don't have an overarching privacy law in the United States. So the Federal Trade Commission now protects us for privacy. So if a company promises to do something in its privacy policy and does something differently, then the FTC can go after them. So there's an incentive to not promise too much.
I think a lot of times we don't really think about the fact that the company we're giving our data to might then give it to another company for another reason or a reason they haven't even figured out yet in order to make money off it.
Especially in the startup space, as companies are first starting and they don't really know exactly what they're going to be doing, they want to keep as much data as possible in case they need it down the line for a new tool that they want to roll out for users.
Well, how should we approach this as users?
In order to actually change what's going on, consumers need to start voting with their dollars, essentially, and supporting companies that are clear and transparent and care about privacy and listen to consumers, and maybe even give consumers a right to control their data.
What are you most worried about in terms of how all of this stuff is playing out today? I mean, are you worried more about the private sector? Are you worried about policy?
So we are really concerned right now about what all this data collection means for the Fourth Amendment and your reasonable expectation of privacy. And the government in many cases, is arguing that when a third party has data, you no longer have a reasonable expectation of privacy. And that means that the government doesn't need a warrant to get that data. And so privacy is completely out the window.
And there's a specific case that involves this?
So there's a case right now, it's going to be heard this fall at the Supreme Court, involving the location information that cell towers collect from your phone. And do you have an expectation of privacy in that? Does the government need a warrant to get that? It's going to be really important for whether we have privacy going forward.
Jamie Williams, she is a staff attorney with the Electronic Frontier Foundation on smart device data collection and third-party selling. Jamie, thank you very much.
Thank you.
And dear listeners, our hashtag Summer Tech Jam playlist collaboration continues. Sean Chaplis says, how about We Are the Robots by Kraftwerk? Technically, the tune is apparently called The Robots, but I mean, they do say...
We are the robots. We are the robots.
Nice one, Sean. Also, listener Kay Collette suggests a band that could arguably call Kraftwerk their ancestors, Daft Punk, and their song Technologic. All right, keep your submissions coming. Use the hashtag SummerTechJam. Hit me up on Twitter. I'm at TheBrockJohnson, and that's our show today. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.